Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord here in person and also online on another day that God has given to us to celebrate His grace and mercy. Let freedom ring throughout our land. And if it cannot, let it ring at least in your heart. We as citizens of this country and of heaven have a responsibility to use our freedom for good. And the best model of what is good comes from God. And so as we worship today, may we grow in our appreciation of both freedoms that we have been given. And with freedom, knowing that it has not come cheaply, but at a high price, may we recognize that it does come with responsibility or else. With that thought in mind, let's turn to our invocation on page 3 of our service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King of all gods.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us worship.
Thank you.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to be without sin, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
That we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. We're at the fourth Sunday after Pentecost in our church here, a reading from Holy Scripture for this Sunday, 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter. A reminder that we pray it does not take a drastic event to grab our attention or to lead others that we know to repentance. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshiped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced divination and witchcraft, sought omens and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Afterward, he rebuilt the outer wall of the city of David, west of the Gihon spring in the valley, as far as the entrance of the fish gate and encircling the hill of Ophel. He also made it much higher. He stationed military commanders in all the fortified cities in Judah. He got rid of the foreign gods and removed the image from the temple of the Lord, as well as all the altars he had built on the Temple Hill and in Jerusalem, and he threw them out of the city. Then he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it, and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. The people, however, continued to sacrifice at the high places, but only to the Lord their God. The other events of Manasseh's reign, including his prayer to his God and the words the seers spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, are written in the annals of the kings of Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Heaven does not have to be closed to people. Here is the why not. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As you are able, please stand for our gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 7th chapter. A couple questions to help us focus in these words of our Lord. Do you appreciate the fact that your sins are forgiven? And what does your appreciation look like? When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is from God our Father, as well as through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to these words from 2 Chronicles. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thanks to God's grace and mercy and the work of Jesus, we are able to live grateful lives now and into eternity. Your child says, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and no one can stop me. And you say in response something that can be repeated. Freedom and independence both come with responsibility. Freedom and independence. Not everyone has the opportunity to have these gifts. And so with such, for we who have them, comes responsibility. If we are grateful for our freedom, if we are grateful for our independence, our ability to act independently, then we are to show such by acts and words of appreciation for our own good and for the good of those around us. Another word that we can use for appreciation and how it's supposed to be shown would be the word respect. There is not a whole lot of respect going on today, is there? Partly because we have lost sight of what we have to be grateful about. Now, real quick in your mind, just list a few things which you are grateful for. Now, think for a brief moment how you have been showing your appreciation for those things that you are grateful for. One of the things that we are to be grateful for is the mercy that we receive from the hand of God. And that this mercy of His has been shown clearly to us in His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. As well as that mercy being refreshed in and among us with each new day. Do we show our appreciation for God's mercy? One way to show our appreciation is through obedience. Not because we have to, but because we can. We are reminded of this, of what we have been given and what we are to do with it as we take a look at the life of Manasseh. He was a king over Old Testament Israel for 55 years. It was not all good, but God showed mercy. His mercy came to the rescue. Mercy is not something we deserve. When you think about it, there is a mercy rule in sports because do teams really want to show mercy? And so there's a rule. We don't deserve mercy. Manasseh surely did not deserve God's mercy. He had a proper upbringing. His father, Hezekiah, was a faithful servant of God. So Manasseh had an opportunity to learn what worship of the true God is to look like and how to carry out justice as king. I mean, one of the roles of king was to protect God's people in particular, to carry out justice correctly, to be an example for the people, an influencer of good. So Manasseh had the proper upbringing. What happened? Well, Manasseh, as with all of us, is born with a sinful nature. And if not curbed, will get the best of us. And that's what happened to Manasseh. And why he didn't deserve mercy. I mean, we heard about what he did. Opposite of what he grew up with. Defiling the temple of God. Not drawing people to the name of the Lord God of Israel, but rather away from it. Encouraging to bow down to the heathen gods around them, the human gods, who even asked for child sacrifices. How low does it get? And so Manasseh, instead of being an influencer for good, became an influencer for evil. We do have an opportunity, each and every one of us, to be an influencer. Is it going to be for good or for evil? Now, while we cannot control the actions of those around us, and parents have some responsibility of their children, but then again, not everything can be blamed on the parents, how are we living our life of influence so that we can have a clear conscience before God? That really is what matters in the end. Manasseh did not deserve mercy. He had been given responsibility, and he did not use it well. How about you? You've been given great responsibility as a human being, as a citizen of this country, as a member of this church, as a husband or a wife, a father or a mother, a grandfather or grandmother, a friend, a person in the community. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being perfect, how would you rate your sphere of influence for good? Of being responsible. Well, on a good day, we might say, 7.5, I'm feeling good. But to be honest, we have to be like King David, who said, "In sin did my mother conceive me," or with Paul, "Chief of sinners though I be," we can't even get on the scale. We don't deserve God's mercy either, individually and collectively as a church. The visible church, and not just our particular church, but church in general. I mean, think of what churches have done with God's word. Instead of being an influencer of good and raising up the world to God's standards, we have allowed the world to set the standards, and God needs to acquiesce to those standards. I mean, how many times, like in verse 10, the Lord spoke his word, and yet they refused to listen. I mean, Manasseh was not just struck down in judgment without any warning. He had warning even from his father's time of what would happen if there was disobedience. But he refused. And the world today has warning. There is no excuse. And churches especially, who claim to use the word of God, who read the same book that we do, have no excuse. I mean, how many churches have done away with our epistle reading, our second reading for today? God makes it very clear he has not changed 1 Corinthians 6. He did not black it out, nor Romans 1 and Romans 2. And yet he is a God of mercy because Jesus died for all. Because not one of us can claim to be without sin, even though it may not be the same sin as outlined in 1 Corinthians 6. Sin is sin, and all sin needs to be repented of. And that's really the bottom line for today, and thankfully, there is still time for repentance, individually, collectively. I mean, think of all the gods that this world has come up with, all the distractions, all the lack of using responsibility wisely. Think of the lack of disrespect, or the lack of respect on the road, I mean, you say hi to somebody and they flip you off. It's like, I just said hi. I'm sorry, you're having a bad day. You want to know why the world is the way it is? Look in the mirror, buddy. Right? The world has set up the gods of excuses. You know, Lord, I was going to repent today, but my lawn's looking a little brown, so I better give it some water. That lawn's going to burn up eventually. You know, my child left a little mess in the living room. I got to clean that up. Child's going to make a mess again. What did Jesus say? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If Manasseh wasn't shown God's mercy and led to pick it up, he would not be in a good place today. God has given each and every one of us opportunity to get our priorities straight, to use the freedom that he has given to us, to use it responsibly. I mean, Jesus paid a great price for our freedom. He gave up his own life. He took all of our acts of idolatry, all our words and actions of disrespect, and you name it, he took it to the cross where he said, "It is finished, they are forgiven, not to be held against you again, but not to keep on living in that lifestyle and in those sins." His blood has cleansed us, has set us free. And yet too often we as individuals and as churches and society, what do we do with that freedom that he has won from us for the cross? We put the shackles back on and we burden our consciences and our hearts and the hearts and consciences of others. Our society is so upside down, we don't even know what tolerance is anymore. And so we try to preach a message of repentance and love, and we're told we're not tolerant. Who's not being tolerant? You're not even open to listening to the message, which could really set you free. And we have been set free. And by the grace of God, we have been washed. We have been sanctified to live in freedom, to act independently in a good way. To show respect to our God and his word, to show respect to one another, even to those who disrespect us. Thus, the reminder of what obedience is to look like. Based on the mercy that we have been given, but we do not deserve. I mean, God could have turned his back on Manasseh in Old Testament Israel, but he could not go against himself because he had promised that through Israel he would send the Savior of the nations, and he made good on that promise. And we are the recipients of God making good on that promise. I mean, God could snap his fingers and wipe this world out right now, but in his mercy, he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. How precious then is Jesus' act of obedience, his obeying the law that we cannot obey perfectly and taking that perfect obedience to the cross and satisfying God the Father's righteous anger over our sin. How thankful and grateful we are to be for the call to repentance, whether that came through the font of baptism as an infant, and we've grown up in the faith that we were baptized in, or later in life. But every day really is a call to repentance, to focus on God's mercy and what that means, and to live our life in gratefulness and respect. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. God, help us be influencers of good in this world, even if the world around us is going the opposite of God's ways. For our goal is to glorify God, not to receive glory from the world. And so we set aside our personal goals for God's goals, his priorities. We squash down the gods of this world, the sports gods, the money gods, the, the titles, gods, you name it, God, whatever God is taking first place in your heart, God, help us squash those gods and let Him, the true God, reign in our heart. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy the things of this world, the money and the titles and the sports and all that, but first things first. God knows our heart. And as we then live to glorify God, we are giving a clear witness. I mean, you would think that at some point, people are going to be chasing after all these other things, and they're chasing because they're trying to find peace and contentment, and they're going to hit a wall because they tried everything. What's left? I mean, we're at that point, like the psalmist said, let every generation know the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, but we're at that point where a generation already is not connected, and they're raising a generation that is not connected. And so there is coming a time when they're not going to know what that word is, but hopefully there will still be people around who are living the word, and their hearts have been prepared to hear that word. And it'll bear fruit in their hearts. So it's not a time to give up on the world. It's a time all the more to recharge our God-given hearts and minds to be clear witnesses in this world. That doesn't mean we're in your face, the face of people, but we're living the life that God wants us to live. We're setting the example. We're being influencers good on social media, in the workplace, in the home, wherever. God help us then use our freedom for good. To realize, though, that while we are independent, we are responsible. Which means not just looking out for our own good, but also for the good of others. We close with this prayer. Lord, make us to walk in your commands. This is a delightful road. Nor let our heads or hearts or hands offend against you, O Lord. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. We now join together in a confession of faith. It's on page 11 for us from the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen. Please be seated. We pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people.
We especially thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, who has ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand.
We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne, and that he intercedes for us in all our needs.
Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with understanding and knowledge of your heavenly truth.
Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents, that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted, In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. And so with that in mind, we bring before you Homer Carson, who has been hospitalized. We ask that you would watch over him physically, restore his health as it be your will, but above all, reassure him with the sins forgiven and the sure hope of heaven waiting for him in your good time. Lamb of God, let our lives for you be given, our years for you be spent, our ties to earthly goods be gone, our gifts with love to you be sent. You gave yourself that we might live, to you ourselves and all things give. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord, for watching over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, we thank you for this opportunity in their life and ask that you would continue to watch over them, helping them see the blessings in their life together. Hear us, Lord, now as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be praise and honor and glory and power, now and forever. Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he is betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now may this body which was shed for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Live your life in peace and with joy and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Again, great to see you here. Just highlight the opportunity to fill out the connection cards. Please do so. Guests, if you don't mind filling out the backside, appreciate that. Sharing some more information with us. The connection cards, you may have noticed, have been moved. If you look behind you or on your way out, if you don't want to hurt your neck, you'll see boxes on the wall as you exit the side doors, east and west. Those are for your thank offering envelopes as well as for your connection cards. And on the bottom, you'll see the connection cards. So just a little change here from the routine of everything being out there in the lobby to having these here. So we'll take some adjusting getting through. We did leave the thank offering plates in the lobby yet too. So for today as well, if you want to leave your thank offering there as well as your connection card, feel free to do so. Just appreciate that transition. It is the first Sunday of the month, Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, the mission boxes, opportunity to show further support, financial support to this great work that our missionaries receive from LWMS. They just wrapped up their convention in New York. So if you can go to the LWMS website, you can learn about all the mission work that is taking place that these women support. Jesus Cares is scheduled to take place today at 2 o'clock. We'll meet in the multi-purpose center. Ed Hartog's Victory Service is scheduled for Monday, July 11th at 11 a.m. On the 11th at 11 a.m. here at the church. See the weekly news for other important information that is going on here at church and school throughout the summer months. We got summer Bible camp coming up in a couple weeks, so keep that in mind. If you see children in your neighborhood that you would like to invite, they can go online and register. One final item before we go. We're going to use those red books. I think they're called hymnals. 619, if you don't mind opening up to. And we'll join together in this prayer for our nation. 619.
God bless all.
Thank you. Enjoy your celebration of our nation's independence, but more importantly, continue to celebrate the independence that we have been given by God's grace. Thank you.